This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have a couple of things that I wanted to talk with you about this hour. One of them was, well, what's it like to live in a country that's surrounded by terrorists, surrounded by people that hate your guts, and how does life go on in that country? And the country that I've brought up over the last couple of weeks is Israel. I mean, it's the closest thing we got to any country that we could look at and say, well, how should we model ourselves? How does a democratic, free society, etc., how do they go about living their lives in some form of normality when you are surrounded by enemies? And now Israel has got them sitting right on their border. This isn't like somebody flying in an airplane, somebody who had to phony up a passport and come in through Canada and go in through a tunnel and go down to this and all this other crap. This is about a country that is completely surrounded with nations that would like nothing more than to completely liquidate them, and yet there they are, still around 53 years later. And I realize, by the way, that my saying these things about Israel, that I admire that society and that country, I realize in the minds of many of you, or some of you, that makes me, like, strange.
Are you a Jew?
No, I'm not a Jew.
Well, then why would you be, you know, saying that about us?
Because I happen to see what's going on there. I think it's a country that bears some scrutiny, and maybe perhaps there's some lessons to be learned there.
Well, you have to be a Jew.
I'm not a Jew.
What, are you ashamed of being a Jew?
Well, look, if I was a Jew, I'd say I was a Jew. Okay, I'm a Jew. How about that?
Oh, I figured you were.
Why?
Because you're in the entertainment business.
Oh, all right. There we go. Well, see? Anyway, enough of that. What's it like in that country? Despite the recent upsurge of violence, and we're talking about the Intifada back in May, residents of the Gaza settlement of Netzarim are as determined as always to remain where they are. Undaunted by their total dependence on the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, who accompany them in and out of the settlement each day, the settlers remain focused on reinforcing their community rather than on the daily dangers brought so clearly to the fore. Things considered abnormal elsewhere are normal here, said one of the settlement people. Things that are considered abnormal are normal. One of the members of the settlement said she admitted that the most mundane trip outside the settlement involves preparing for the eventuality of being unable to return due to violence. This morning I had to take my baby for a vaccination at the family health clinic. I packed as though I was going away for the entire day. For one, an elementary school has been set up inside the settlement that now has 52 students. It was because of the security situation that the settlement decided 3 years ago to set up its own elementary school. Bus bombings and funerals, trauma and pain, police checkpoints that paralyze traffic, school children shadowed by armed guards when they go on field trips, nights in downtown Jerusalem or Belfast where revelers share the streets and pubs with armed soldiers and police. Arabs in Israel and those who live in the occupied Gaza Strip and West Bank must contend with more. They're the ones suspected of most terrorist attacks, so they get singled out regularly for random searches, lengthy interrogations, and other anti-terrorism tactics. It's the usual thing. We're used to it, said one Arab who lives in East Jerusalem and works in the city's United Nations office. The police check your papers, your car, everything. Sometimes they bring the dogs to check the cars, especially on Friday, because a lot of Palestinians go to the mosque to pray. Israelis are quick to point out, however, that Palestinians should be singled out for scrutiny because extremists among them have openly vowed to blow up more buses and public places. The daily fight against terrorism is not always waged in life and death terms. Sometimes it means just getting to work on time. On the buses, soldiers with machine guns can surround a bus stop or station. Private security guards and police board buses and look for suspicious people or packages. Passengers are conditioned to be alert. Their eyes dart to every new or unfamiliar face. Some who are particularly wary will walk where they're going, even in lousy weather, if they see a stranger try to board their bus with a backpack or an odd-looking package. You used to be able to ride on a bus and relax, said one 26-year-old Tel Aviv resident who rides 40 minutes each morning to work at her brother's bagel shop. You can't do that anymore. Like, when could you ever relax in that country? The impact of terrorism on Israel's daily lives has both short-term and long-term effects. An American-born writer who moved to Israel in 1967 said he went on to become the late Prime Minister Menachem Begin's official spokesman. I can't pronounce the cat's name or I'd give it to you, okay? I mean, I'm avoiding these names because it's Zev Javahapa. I can't. After something happens, you start out wanting to lynch all the Arabs. You talk about leaving the country, how your kids will never be let out of the house. Then you reach the second stage in a few weeks. You put it away. Instead of fear, it becomes an apprehension. It may pop up when you see a place that happened or ride on a bus line that was blown up. put away or not, it never stays gone for long in that part of the world. One 35-year-old Jerusalem jeweler and an Army veteran has two small children and another on the way. He also has a 38-caliber handgun strapped to his belt nearly every waking moment. It's very important to get back to normal as quickly as possible after something like this happens. Something like what happened? It's very important to get back to normal after something like this happens, and I don't know what it is he's talking about. The gaping bullet hole is still in the restaurant. I guess they got attacked. Nearly 2 years later, one seems to mind. The restaurant is busy. The street continues to bulge with people. The point is this. This is what it takes for that society to survive. I don't think anybody disagrees with me at this point. I think we've been hammering this point home for a long time. Here is Andrea on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I just wanted to point out that the person who did it is obviously dead, and the person who they're going after is obviously innocent because he's still alive.
And it, the person who... Just, the what?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, the people who did it died in the plane crash.
The people who did it, the hijackers.
Yeah, they're dead. And the people that they're going after is obviously innocent. He's still alive. He's not dead. He didn't do it. And didn't cost a lot of money.
You're aware of a crime called conspiracy to commit murder.
Well, it didn't cost a lot of money. They used our plane.
Okay, did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
You're aware of a crime called conspiracy to commit murder.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that's a crime. That's a felony. You can go to jail for the rest of your life for it.
Yeah.
So how do you figure they're innocent?
The people that actually did it are dead.
I got that.
Okay. The people that could be the people who rioted in Genoa a month ago, but nobody's saying anything about them.
I don't understand what you're talking about. I just mentioned the man that you say is innocent is guilty of conspiracy to commit murder.
No,
and an accessory to the crime. How is he innocent?
We don't know. If he's still alive, I'm saying. But you're right. If it's conspiracy to commit murder, if that's the crime, then he could be guilty.
If you exhort someone to go out and commit murder, if you help them plan it, if you give them the tools to commit it, if you even so much as give them manuals on how to commit a murder or how to blow up a plane, you're an accessory in some way, shape, or form. You're part of a conspiracy, a larger conspiracy to murder,
okay.
And that's a felony. That's against the law.
Do you think that it's possible that someone else, such as the people that rioted in Genoa a month ago, might have had something to do with this, or anybody else?
You mean
else
the people who rioted in Genoa, the World Trade Organization,
the people that are against the IMF?
People that are against the... It's possible there's all kinds of people guilty, so should we not look for them?
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm just thinking we don't know who did it and the people that did do it.
I think the investigative forces, who have a far better grasp of the situation than you or I, say that it points to Bin Laden. I have here declassified documents from the CIA on how this guy counsels people on how to torture, how to kill hostages, how there's all justification for it in the Quran, literally specific detailed instructions on how to torture someone, financial security, the entire organization on how to conduct terrorism. And the guy has already as much admitted to having planned the bombing of the coal. He's wanted in connection with bombing those embassies in Africa. This guy is wanted for a lot more than just the attack on the World Trade Center. If nothing else, you know.
Well, I've learned it from you the first time. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling, Andrea. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling, especially today, because apparently all of the passion has sort of dwindled on this thing. We've got three open lines, which I probably expected to be like that for the rest of the day. That's fine. Everybody has shot their wad, and they got all their angst out and on the table, and they're all pissed off, but they don't feel so pissed off. That's fine. We don't need the phone calls. I'm just saying we've got a few lines open here. 1-800-449-8686. I'll keep talking about it because I think it's interesting, and I think there's a couple of things that continue to need to be pointed out, and whatever the hell else happens. But I thought that was something for us to consider, how life is conducted, how life goes on in Israel, and how perhaps we'll be affected here. Being frisked, seeing soldiers at street corners, I don't know. You know, because a bomb goes off in a country, Because it blows up a building, because it kills people, it doesn't mean the country need be brought down. It doesn't mean that life in that country and all organized effort at government and all organized effort at some decent living need to cease. It doesn't mean you have to go insane and run around looking for Arabs under every rock and shoot some cat that runs a gas station. Why do I say that? Because the example for that is in Israel. The country is still there 53 years later, with pizzerias getting blown up, with hijackings. One of the things I wanted to ask Dale Dye was that whole operation at Entebbe, which was a phenomenal, phenomenal operation that a whole generation of Americans knows nothing about. I mean, I've got Craig looking at me, squinting at me, scratching his head, his hand in his pants. What are you talking about? Well, in a moment I'll tell you about the raid on Entebbe, about what the Israeli Defense Forces and Security Forces did when their people, when their passengers, their citizens, and citizens of other nations were hijacked by terrorists and taken to an airport in the middle of Africa, and what they did about it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's go to a phone call here, and I'll get my Entebbe stuff out for you. I'll tell you the whole story. Just Uncle Phil will lay it on you here. Just sit tight for a couple of seconds. Here is Jeff on the Phil Hendry Show. Jeff?
Hi there, Phil. I just thought it'd be a good idea to let everybody know objectively, sort of remind everybody, that this secret indefinite war that we're going to be fighting against 60 nations for the next few years, it's all coming out of our second income tax, meaning the Social Security money. There, if you remember the budget that was set up by the Bush administration before this war, they depleted all of the budget surplus, and they gave tax breaks to the energy companies, and they rebated all the surplus so that only Social Security money was left. And then they tried to set up a phony accounting scheme.
Well, whatever, man. What's your point?
The point is that...
You got another guy with a problem with the government and the way they tax things? Is that it? You're getting screwed.
The government's retirement
Are you getting
fund.
Screwed, Jeff? Is that the problem here?
Yeah,
are you taking
the
it in the shorts again?
The government's retirement fund. They shouldn't be doing it.
Hey, well, you know what? You may not be around for your retirement. What do you think of that?
You're right.
Yeah.
Well...
You and me both, brother.
I see the point.
How old are you?
It's not cool to spend a country's retirement fund.
How old are... What do you mean it's not cool to spend a country? What the hell are we going to spend it on, man? If we're not around to spend the Social Security, what difference is it going to make?
Yeah, I know, but they keep... Let me ask you a question. Fix, and then they're going to raise the payroll.
Well, they tell you a lot of things. You know, Mommy and Daddy said that they'd be home by 11, and they were home at midnight. And what did we do? We just cried ourselves to sleep, you know? Look, they just had $40 billion that came out of there. Nobody planned it. Nobody expected it. We had a whole city burned to the ground. And then it got $15 billion for an airline industry where there are people, workers, thousands of them are going to be laid off. We got to take that money. I got a great idea.
Yeah.
How about we raise some taxes?
Well, you know, I happen to like Bass Ale, and that's an awful lot of 12 packs of Bass Ale that I could buy with that money. But anyway,
you know what, man, you're not funny, and your point is a load of crap. Goodbye. I like these people call up, and I know, I'll call Phil. I got a really funny thing to say. I'll talk about Social Security for a few minutes. Not that I really give a crap. You know, I'll just make this really interesting point, and then I'll get the kicker off, and Phil will go, ha, 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 how interesting and unique. What the hell was that guy talking about? He doesn't give a crap about Social Security. He couldn't spell it. Let's go over here to Josh on the Phil Hendry Show. Josh?
Yes, I'm Phil.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just like to say how bad this has hurt our... I'm not going to say like the last guy. Like, it does hurt our taxes, but it also hurts our economy, like, from the airlines. Like, so many people have lost their jobs. My parents' boss, they fly out, like, 12 days out of the week, and it really does hit home on a lot of different levels, you know?
What do your parents do, pal?
They're model searchers. They go through the country and they model.
What's that again? I didn't understand.
There was face models and talent.
Face models?
Yeah.
Oh wow! What does that mean?
They go around and look for models and talent and stuff. They're talent scouts.
Oh, they're talent scouts for models.
Yeah, and they fly around the country, and like this first thing that happened because they were flying that day.
Yeah. Good
they
Lord.
They were flying that day that happened.
You were worried. I bet you were worried about
them. Yeah. Oh yeah, I was because I live at home by myself when they're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, it really hits home. And
are you in school, Josh, or what's?
Yeah, I'm a senior in high school.
Senior in high school, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but your folks travel and leave you. Well, you're old enough. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 18.
Oh, okay, so you know how to open up a can of SpaghettiOs. Yeah. All right. So that sucks, and I know what you're saying. It's everybody's like paranoid.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make a point too.
Right.
This America is not like a little country over there in Africa where they fight over land. This is the United States of America. And we will strike justice on them if anybody's listening. We will strike justice.
And yeah, if anybody in Africa is listening or anywhere else, Arabia, I'm telling you, Josh, you're right. We're going to kick some ass, all right?
Yeah.
All right, keep the faith, brother.
All right, you keep it easy.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show here. This biological thing, too, I hear everybody loves to rub their hands together with glee and go, and now the biological option. It's very serious. It's dangerous, even. And it's just this sort of gleeful discussion of what can they do? Now, here's my, if you'll pardon me, here's my take. This has been actually good for me over the last couple of weeks because I've had a lot of things that, you know, are inside of me that but I don't usually burden people with my opinion. I let my phony voices do it. Now, I said to you guys last week when I had people calling in, Phil, I don't know how much, you know, the other shoe's going to drop. Where are they going to strike next? Where will the terrorists hit us? What's going to happen? I said, you know what? I don't think they're going to hit again. You don't? What do you mean you don't think they're going to hit? How could you possibly say? I don't think they're going to hit again for a variety of reasons. And one of them is I think they shot their wad. I think this was a huge event for them. All the planes are grounded, so obviously they can't fly any planes. Well, but that's not the only way that they can strike. All right, well then, if that's not the only way they can strike, then why haven't they struck? Well, they're biding their time. Biding their time for what? There's a police presence now in this country that is unprecedented. There's an intelligence presence of this country that's unprecedented. If they were going to strike, they should have struck. Boom, 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 one, two, three. I think this is all they got. Now, I don't want to say that I was right. It looks like I was, though. I mean, it looks like if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Don't hate me if I'm wrong, and don't hate me if I'm right. But just, I think that they've shot their wad, and they're running for cover now. Now then, biological, chemical weapons. Let's talk about that. Let's discuss that. Why haven't they used that on Israel? Why haven't the guys that have walked into pizza parlors and walked into gas stations and bus stations with bombs strapped to them, why haven't they just walked into a little pizza parlor and poof, puffed a little aerosol of anthrax or smallpox in there? You'll wipe out the whole country. You could kill everybody in Israel. Why haven't they? I don't think they've got it. And if they do, I don't think they know how to handle it. I also happen to know that some of those elements, if you will, are extremely expensive, like anthrax. Extremely expensive. Chemical weapons. Saddam Hussein. Why hasn't he used that on Israel? He's used it on his people in his own country. There's a couple of reasons, maybe. One could be that they don't have the capability that we think that they have. And the second is, if you're asking me when's the right time to use a nuke, that's when I say we bust that out. They start playing that game, that's when I say, fat boy and little man and everybody else in the closet that we got, we start dropping them. But I'm questioning whether they have the sophisticated capability of biological and chemical weaponry that everybody likes to get on and prattle on about, that they think that they have, they say that they have, that maybe they got, that they possibly could. You know what? I think there's a little boogeyman stuff going on here. I think we're seeing, that lady talked about ghosts. I think we're seeing a few. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm not saying that there isn't such a thing as chemical weapons, and I'm not saying there isn't such a thing as biological weapons. All I'm asking you to do is to stop. Look at the evidence. Look at the pattern. Look at the weaponry used. Look at the past performance of these, if you can use the word performance, of these terror groups. Look at the low-tech, high-concept, as we've heard that term so many times, approach that they have to a lot of their operations. And if you look carefully, you don't see anything more sophisticated. As tragic and as horrible as it is, you don't see anything more sophisticated than bombs blowing up, fuel or dynamite or what have you, plastique, blowing up. You can get it anywhere. You can wire it any way you want. You can carry it in any amount. It's the easiest thing to obtain of all of those. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Suzanne, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
How you doing, Suzanne?
Okay, well, you know, my husband's one of those airline employees who's real nervous about possibly losing his job because people don't want to travel.
It sucks.
And I have an idea. I want to know what you think about it.
My wife's traveling this week to Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be fine.
No, she's okay. We're not sweating it in the least.
Yeah.
In the least.
The employees are sweating it, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and the pilots, if the pilots could have, first of all, that should be like a submarine door to that cockpit. Nobody should be able to get to that pilot. And the pilot, if they can arm them with some type of, say, panic button that they could press where, you know what ether is?
Sure. I used to fill cans of ether when I worked for a veterinarian during lunchtime and just kind of walk back going, well, what's wrong with you, Phil?
It's just a nutty place, man, you know.
Well, they can hit the panic button and just anesthetize everybody on the entire plane.
Why couldn't you also have something? Now, this is we're talking about some nutty stuff, asking flight attendants. But they do say, we're here primarily for your safety. Don't they say that?
Absolutely.
Why couldn't they have small, you see the little morphine hypos that the soldiers used in the Second World War where they could just slam it into a man's arm or into his leg and give him a quick
boom,
blast?
They're out in a second.
Why couldn't you have something like that where you just blast the guy with a little shot and he's on his ass in 3 seconds?
Yeah. It's clean. It's
Who's going to use a
it's
gun?
Not violent.
Who's going to use a gun? Now, if the guy's got a bomb on him, but here's the other thing. That was all baloney. These guys claiming they had bombs.
Yeah.
You know, and a gun, you could decompress the, is that the right term, Craig? Depressurize a cabin by firing a pistol. So, yeah, I think as goofy and as nutty as it sounds, as far-fetched, it sure beats some of the crazier notions that I've heard. Like, you know, I've heard people in the last few days say, no more razor blades in plastic handles with 4-inch knives, and we can't do that. What are you talking about, man? I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Like my wife says to me today, she's traveling this week. She says, do you think I should bring my Swiss Army knife? I said, well, put it in the check baggage. No, I better not. Why? Well, you know.
Well, listen to this story. They gave, my husband is a supervisor, they gave them like a be out on the lookout for list of people. If these guys try to check in, immediately call the police.
Right.
Well, there's this guy shows up, Saudi Arabian passport. This is in Miami Airport. Saudi Arabian passport wants to buy a one-way ticket with cash, and he's got no baggage. Now, buddy, the clue
not
bus
suspicious
just
to
left
me at all.
You weren't on it.
Seems totally normal to me.
Yeah,
no baggage,
hello?
One-way
you know,
ticket, and he's
he
flying
to
Hong
jail.
Kong. Yeah.
Just for being stupid.
He ought to be. There ought
you know,
to be just
you're
a certain.
You're that, yeah. You belong in
Well, what
jail
did they
now.
Do? They pull this guy out of line and bust him, or what happened?
Oh, yeah. The cops were. They had a four-digit code that would be punched into the computer, and the cops were there immediately.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of these people that they're arresting, if they're not a material witness, they're letting them go. Because yeah. They got nothing on them, and there's nothing. Those guys, those poor guys, and I say poor guys, and I mean this, the people they pulled off the plane there last Thursday at Kennedy, this whole big SWAT team thing, and they grabbed a guy from behind, and he was screaming and yelling. They let all those guys go. Apparently, they had perfectly reasonable explanations. See, a lot of salesmen who travel and travel the country, they have open-ended tickets because they don't know where they're going to go next.
Right.
So
they're not paying cash only with no bags.
That's
so.
A good point. That's yeah. true. Yeah, no so, bags.
And they're not, generally not Saudi Arabians.
And they're sweating bullets, and they have the little. They've got the Quran. And yeah. the airline, you know, how to blow up a plane in the back pocket. What are you doing here?
Nothing. I'm going to a Super Bowl.
Oh, the
and
Super
that
Bowl.
And lady that called before and said, you know, that he's innocent because he didn't die, the guy they're looking for now, those
Bin Laden,
guys
yeah.
went to pilot school. It was $25,000 each for them to learn how to fly a plane. Where does she think they got... They don't have collectively $25,000 in all of Afghanistan.
I'm telling you, we mentioned this last week, and I'm sure the smarter people than I have thought of it. Going after the money on these guys seems to be... we talked about freezing assets and getting into wherever this guy's cash is coming from. I mean, that's
yeah.
a beautiful thing. This guy can't... He's not living on his good looks down there. That's
exactly.
for sure. He's spreading money around. He's buying crap. He's paying off these pilots' families. If this guy hasn't got two nickels to rub together... How good's he going to be for anybody? Where's
exactly.
he getting his cash? Look, there's two sides to that living in the mountains thing. One
yeah.
of them, the good side is you're living in the mountains. The bad side is there ain't no ATM machine around there, is there? I mean, what?
No.
Is he, unless he's got, and I'm serious, unless he's got huge stacks of gold that he
yeah,
has
really.
Some guy pack mule out of there once a week and take this to Ahmed and...
Do you think they really know where he is, though? Everybody keeps saying,
I think they got a good idea.
I'll
tell you this. I think they got a good idea. 2 years ago, they were Bin Laden was tracked. Clinton put the contract out on him at that time. And he was tracked to the point where they hit his convoy, but they hit the wrong vehicle. Now, I don't know who they hired to do the job. It might have been some of those National Alliance guys. But they hit the convoy with rocket launchers. Or with rockets from shoulder launchers, and they hit the wrong vehicle.
Oh, man.
So they got that close. They got that
wow.
close. So if you can get that close, yeah, they got some ideas. And you heard, I don't know if you heard Captain Dye last hour, the guy's beautiful, you know, he's just great, and he said, you spread enough money around, even to the dirty people, even to the rot scum of the earth, you know.
Somebody will give them up.
Somebody will give them up. I mean, the rottenest,
yeah.
scummiest.
Money talks.
Dirtiest. I mean, even Craig Taylor.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can.
They'll sell out their own mother.
You got a kid. All right, thanks, Suzanne.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye. I mean, the lowest form of life on. Hi, Craig. And anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. On June 27th, 1976, listen to this story, children. Four terrorists forced an Air France Airbus to land in Uganda, in the heart of distant Africa. They quickly demanded that Israel release 53 convicted terrorists. The hijackers freed the French crew and non-Jewish passengers while retaining 105 Jewish and Israeli hostages. A 48-hour deadline was set before executions would begin. Faced with little choice, the Israeli government announced that it would enter into negotiations. This bought the precious time needed to consolidate a seemingly impossible military option. A new ultimatum was issued for 1300, that would be 1 p.m. on Sunday, July 4th. The only airplane capable of a rescue operation was a C-130 Hercules. On July 1st, the mission's overall commander, Brigadier General Dan Shomron, later to become the IDF Chief of Staff, presented his plan to the IDF commander and Israel's defense minister. The next day, they all witnessed a full-scale dress rehearsal. The incredible was deemed possible. They were going to mount a rescue of these hostages at Entebbe Airport. Shomron's plan was based on several advantages that the Israelis had over the terrorists. The Entebbe Airport at which the hostages were being held was built by an Israeli construction firm, which was able to provide Shomron with blueprints. Moreover, the released non-Jewish hostages were able to describe the terrorists, their arms, and their positioning. As a result, the IDF decided to send in an overwhelmingly powerful force. Over 200 of the best soldiers the Army had to offer participated in the raid, all of them heavily armed. Finally, the element of surprise was probably the biggest edge that Israel held. According to Shomron, you had more than 100 people sitting in a small room surrounded by terrorists with their fingers on the trigger. They could fire in a fraction of a second. We had to fly 7 hours, land safely, drive to the terminal area where the hostages were being held, get inside, and eliminate all the terrorists before any of them could fire. The fact that no one expected the Israelis to take such risks was precisely the reason that they took them. The aircraft took off at 13:20 July 3rd, headed south. Only then was the plan revealed to the Israeli cabinet, which decided to let the operation continue. They could have aborted it in midair. If the Israeli they took off and they were on their way, the Israeli cabinet could have said, abort, we don't want to do this. The lead Hercules carried the rescue force, led by Colonel Yonatan Netanyahu, who, by the way, is the late brother of Benjamin Netanyahu. The air package also included two Boeing 707s. One acted as a forward command post. The second, outfitted as an airborne hospital, landed in nearby Nairobi, Kenya. The Hercules escorted by F-4 Phantoms as far as possible, about one-third the distance. Skirting thunderstorms over Lake Victoria, the Hercules transports neared the end of the 7-hour, 40-minute flight. A surprise awaited them. The runway lights were on. Despite this, they landed undetected at 23:01 local time. What is that, 11:01? Only 1 minute past their planned arrival time. The soldiers freed the hostages in a lightning attack, killing all 8 terrorists in the process. Tragically, Commander Netanyahu was killed as he led the hostages toward the safety of the aircraft. Additionally, 2 hostages were killed in the crossfire inside the airport. The other squads accomplished their missions in virtually the same time as during the dry run. By 23:59, now that's what, 58 minutes later, the planes were on their way home. The operation, which was predicted to last 1 hour, took 58 minutes. The mission struck a blow at international terrorism. It resonated far and wide. It showed you that you could counter terrorism and that it was worth cooperating to do so. As America celebrated its bicentennial, the world was reminded that freedom is a value which must be fought for in every generation. That's from the Jewish Virtual Library. Now, did you hear some? What was the thing I said in there that a lot of people probably didn't pick up on? 2 of the hostages were killed in the crossfire. That's called collateral damage. That operation was a success. They got everybody, just about everybody, out of there. One of the soldiers died, all the terrorists gone, 2 of the hostages, tragically. And as I recall, when the Israeli soldiers entered that terminal, they shouted, "We're Israelis, get down. We're Israelis, get down." They kept reminding the people, get down, get down. Just lay on the floor, get down. And somebody got up. But there was some of that collateral damage. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to hear about it. Nobody wants to risk it. Nobody, don't even say it. Innocent lives, innocent lives, innocent lives. Well, what do you want to do? You want to call that a failure because of that? All right, there you go. That's my little thing that I read there for you. Because I like my fine-feathered friends here, Mr. Taylor and Schaefer, they thought Entebbe was a new PlayStation game. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Not really. They're asleep right now, in fact. They were so bored with it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
If you'd like to know more about our show, and we don't really do news talk on this show, but we're doing it these days because of the unusual events of the last several days, go to our website. The official website of The Phil Hendry Show is www.philhendryshow.com, PHILHENDRIESHOW.com. Today's Phil Hendry Polls America question is, The Phil Hendry Show should get back into the comedy mode A, today, B, next Monday, he's finally found his talent letting other people talk, and the vote is 68%. I should have done it today. Well, I guess we haven't, and that's the breaks. Things are still breaking. Now let's go to another call here, and we got Vince on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Vince.
Hey, Phil. How's it going? We don't know each other, but I'm going to get this real quick. I've been listening to your show. You know, I'm a truck driver, and I drive through Missouri a lot. But anyway, I put 25 years in military service, received 3 Purple Hearts and 2 Bronze Stars. I've been to Nam, I've been to Grenada, and I've been to Somalia, and I also went to Iraq. You know, that lady that called about, Saddam bin Laden being innocent, and then the other guy calling about Social Security. And I've listened to so many people on your show call. This is the first time I got so bad, just literally red, that I had to call you. You know, it's... people's pervasive attitude about their liberties is that I want everything I can get my hands on a silver platter, but I'm not going to sacrifice nothing. I'll walk past a homeless person on the street and don't care. You know, they don't care about their fellow human beings at all, the ethics and the morals. And then they wonder why the officials that they elect, they get elected by their lack of touch of reality, which it's nice to know that we have at least one person on a radio station that is in touch with reality, and that's you.
It is?
You're definitely right. In touch with reality. The
Thank
people
you.
Are calling you. Are so far out of touch with reality, it amazes me. The kid's quoting numbers from Social Security money, and he doesn't even realize what he's talking about.
Then he came in with a Bass Ale crack, which I didn't get.
I know. I mean, what I'm saying is, and these are the people that are voting elected officials into office, and then they wonder why these are, you know, not all officials now. I'm not blanketing my statements across the board 100%. We have had some fine, outstanding, you know, elected officials that have true ethics and morals and sincere desire and caring for our country.
And then we woke up. No, I'm kidding. Of course, I know.
Well,
no, you're
no,
right.
You
we
know
have.
What?
No, you're right. We have. We do. And you know, I made the point last week. I said, you know, maybe the time is for us to knock this cynicism off. Americans, it's a longstanding thing that we have. I mean, we love knocking our politicians. But, hey, those guys are back in Washington. I'm not. They're doing a job. I'm not. Maybe they're doing it because they're patriotic, you know.
Well,
but this
exactly.
guy, it's a sport. Vince, it's a sport in our country to sit down and jaw-jack and gas-bag a lot of baloney about, yeah, you know, the politicians are this, and this is what they're not doing right, and they're not doing something else right, and there's something else they're doing wrong, and some other guy didn't do this right. And it's like just, you know, they want to hear themselves talk. They just like the sound of their own voice. Yeah, you know, what about the money that they earmarked for the, you know, crotch rot fund, man? I got a rash, and I haven't seen any of that money for a jock itch. And yet the Congress, why, they earmarked $86 billion for jock rash, and who, what? What are you talking about, man? Well, you may not know the problem of ass rash, but many of us suffer from it, and I'm a veteran of the war, and, you know, they'll throw that one in, and nothing against you, Vince. You know, I mean, I like, you know, veterans have every right in the world to say where they served and how they served. Every right in the world. But there's always one or two guys that are wannabes that call up with their baloney, you know. And all it is sport. All it is just some exercise. They want to hear themselves talk. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Now we're up against that usual little, like 1 minute and ticking here before the end of the hour. We have one open line. The more we do this kind of radio, the more I'm going to just kind of just drift right into the old cliches. We have a line open. Or I could have like 86 lines open. So you can still get in. We have one available line. But we will get back to more of your phone calls here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we're continuing with our discussion of the effects of all of this on the country. Now we see that the president is going to have a press conference tomorrow. We had earlier in the program on the show, retired Captain Dale Dye from the United States Marine Corps gave us some ideas on how they might conduct an operation. If you missed it, it was very interesting. Dale is also a consultant to a lot of Hollywood movies, but he mentioned that we have to get a base of operations. We got to get that base of operations in Afghanistan so we can launch what we need to do in the area. He said battalion strength, 850 men. He mentioned the SEALs. He mentioned the Rangers and the United States Marine Corps. Those are the guys we got to use. The Phil Hendry Show.